I greet you again this morning in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. May God's grace and peace be with each one of us here this morning. Amen. Truly, it is a blessing again to meet in the house of the Lord and to meet many of you face to face, to see your smiling faces and to be with you again. I've been looking forward to this morning. Sometimes it seems like a long time since I've been here, and I'm glad to be here again with you. And I also want to thank you for joining in song. You know, I sometimes think of how the Heavenly Father looks down on us when we sing. And I'm sure he is waiting to hear from each one of us our voices of praise to him. So thank you for joining in song. As we were coming this morning, and I'm sure many of you have thought of all the smoke in the air. And some say, well, it is depressing, and to a point it is. But I want to just, in short, remind us this morning that the Apostle Peter, he talks about how this world will end, how it will come to an end. And he says that we are not supposed to be slack concerning the promise that Jesus has given, that he's going to come again. And he says it will come very suddenly. But he says the heavens and the earth shall pass away or melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And so when I think of these verses, I guess to me, when I see all the smoke in the air, I am reminded of what the end will be like. And if God reminds me of something that I should be vigilant about, then I am thankful. Maybe this is supposed to be a reminder to us of where we are at in life and that Jesus will come again. I want to begin this morning by talking about the value of God's Word. Listen as I read to the psalmist's words. He says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Psalm 19, verses 7 to 11. Shall we unite in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we come to your throne of grace again this morning. We thank you for the living word of God. We have just read the testimony of the psalmist of how precious your word is to us. When we think of his testimony, O Lord, we pray that you would forgive us for the many times that we take the Holy Scriptures for granted, and we have not valued them as we ought to have. We read that in your law there is power to convert the soul, to make wise the simple, to enlighten the eyes of the blind. Oh, Father, these are the things that we cannot purchase with silver or gold, the things that we so desperately need for our spiritual and eternal well-being. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would enlighten our eyes to the truth of the gospel. May you help us to draw wisdom from your word. Lord, we pray that you would mold us and make us a humble people, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, and that we may be rooted and grounded in your word and in love. We ask all of this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You know, whether it is the law of the Lord or the testimonies of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord or the commandments of the Lord, the fear of the Lord or the judgments of the Lord. These are all found in what we call our Bible, the Holy Scriptures. The psalmist describes the Scriptures this way. He says, it is perfect. It is pure. It is sure. It is right. It is enduring. He says it is true and it is righteous. Now we know that in today's world we hear a lot of maybe even negative comments about this Bible version or that Bible version. This isn't right or that should be different. But the only thing that is not perfect in God's word is what mere man has done to translation or in interpretation. I like to take the psalmist's words that the scriptures are excellent. The psalmist David speaks in these five verses of how God's word ministers to us. He says it converts the soul. It makes wise the simple. It rejoices the heart. It enlightens the eyes. And it warns the servant of God. Yes, truly, it is as we read in 2 Peter 1, verse 3, that God, through his word, has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And even though we cannot compare the value of God's word with gold, there is one thing that the two have in common. We must dig or search for its treasures. You know, there is much wealth to be found in a gold mine, but there are even greater riches in the depths of God's word. King David said, in the keeping of God's word, there is great reward. I have chosen for a text this morning to read out of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Starting from verse 13. And I'm going to go into chapter 4, the first five verses, I believe. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting from verse 13. The Apostle Paul writes, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learnt them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Thus far. May God give us insight as we look into these words. I'd like to take 3 points out of this portion of Scripture. The first one is the times that we are in and the future. The second one is that the Scriptures are profitable. And the third one is the charge to preach the Word. The Apostle Paul was writing to Timothy about what was to come. If we study 2 Timothy chapter 3, we realize that Paul devoted almost the whole chapter to that which we can expect to see in the last days. Now, some say, which are the last days, or what are the last days? We find in Scripture, when we study the last days, we find that even when Jesus was in this world, he talked about that he was in the last days. But we know that 2,000 years have passed since then. And I think when we talk about the last days, I think we like to focus on the time just before Jesus' return. When Jesus will come back, the time just before that is in the last days. Just going back a little bit in 2 Timothy chapter 3 to verse 1, the Apostle Paul writes, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." He uses the word perilous times, and it has the idea of troubles or difficult or stressful situations. The Greek word from which perilous times comes from is used only one other time in the New Testament. And that is in Matthew 8, verse 28. And here it speaks about these two demonic people who were untamed, coming out of the tombs to meet Jesus. And it says that they were exceeding fierce or dangerous, so that no man might pass by that way. That's how dangerous they were. And the exceeding fierce in the Greek has the same word as perilous or dangerous times. The word perilous gives us the notion that the danger is something that we should not take lightheartedly. It is also noteworthy that Paul is not speaking here of bad times in the terms of sickness or disease or famines, but rather he is speaking of depraved or evil men, wicked men, and seducers. Now let me read from 2 Timothy 3, from verse 2 and down. And I want to just point out of quite a list of things that we can expect to see in the last days. He says in verse 2, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." You know, I think it is important for us to pause and examine this list that the apostle leaves us here. Because it is God's inspired word. God inspired Paul to write this. And he says, this is what you can see in the last, expect to see in the last days. This is what men shall be like, he says. And he makes a list here. And just by quickly reading over all of these, what do they really mean? There's a few I won't take time to explain all of them, but there's a few that I'd like to touch on this morning. The fifth one talks about there'll be blasphemers. Blasphemers is speaking evil things. Evil things of things that are actually not that bad. And there's so much of that we hear today. People have a very negative attitude and speak a lot of evil. There is that of disobedience to parents. And for some reason, we sometimes get the picture that this is talking to children. But in reality, it is talking to all of us. Are there things in our life that we do that if we knew, our parents knew about it, they would not be happy with us? Are we as adults disobedient to what our parents have taught us? There is that of truce breakers, it says in the King James Version. What does it mean? It means having an unforgiving spirit, and when we know we ought to forgive, we fight it. It means irreconcilable. Things can't be made right. Talks about false accusers, meaning slandering others, making others look bad. It talks about incontinent. Incontinent actually means without self-control. You know, there is a lot of that in the world today. In almost every area of life, there is those that don't control how much they eat. There is those that are on drugs and cannot control their life. There are those that consume alcohol to the point that they cannot control themselves. There is sexual addictions that people say they can't control. Despisers of those that are good. You know, when something good goes on and somebody talks behind their back, oh, they're just thinking that they're following some custom or something. And then there is that of lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Is Jesus really precious to us? I want you to notice what is on top of the list. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. This is certainly what we see in our own age, our present age. Many people are all about themselves. People are even encouraged to love themselves. Now, I think it is also not right to tell people to hate themselves, but Scripture teaches us over and over that we must die to self. In Romans 12, verse 3, it says, For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Let's not think more of ourselves than what God has given us. God has given each one of us different gifts, but all for his glory. In Philippians 2, verse 3, Paul teaches, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Friends, let us not be selfish and think only of ourselves. Paul mentions 19 sinful practices that we can expect to see in the last days. And if you have a close look, you will notice that the love for self is the sin from which all the others come from. You know, when people make their own will and desire the center of life, then human relationships are destroyed, then marriages fall apart, then charity and giving to others has ceased. Family has become less important. And friends, we cannot please God and be all about ourselves at the same time. I believe we see more and more of what Paul mentions in this chapter. And verse 13 would definitely confirm that. He says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Two things in this verse: evil men and seducers. Evil men are obvious, that they work against Christ and against Christianity. But seducers are those who look like they are doing good, but in reality they are destructive. They are deceptive. Jesus warned in Matthew 7, verse 15, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Paul said, "having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof." Friends, this is our concern. The Bible warns much about deception in the last time, as you read in our bulletins. When we are thinking of Bible studies, what are we studying? Matthew 24, verse 24, Jesus said, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive even the very elect." There's none of us that are exempt. Not one. We all need to be careful. But this brings me to my second point. The scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation. Paul has a solution to the problem. The problem of deceivers. It is in the scriptures. He tells Timothy and us to continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Timothy was well trained to know the scriptures. Even from a child, his mother and his grandmother had taught him. And friends, if there is one point that I would like to bring across this morning, it would be just that. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. In 1 John 2, verse 24 and 25, it says, "Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life." You know, when the scriptures talks about making us wise unto salvation, we sometimes think of being saved in the end of life, being saved out of hell, or from the destruction of hell. And definitely that is what Jesus came to save us from. But Jesus came to save us of many things already here in this world. The scriptures testify to that. The scripture is written for our day, for our use, for our time. Verse 16 says that God has given us the scriptures for a reason. All scripture. The scriptures are the inspired words of God. Yes, God used people to write them, but in reality, it is the word of God. It is a voice from him, and it is a book like no other book. Verse 16 does not say that some of it is inspired. No, it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Holy men of God spake and wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now we know that there are many ways in which scripture has already been twisted, giving it a different meaning. There is some that say all scripture that is inspired by God is profitable, and then they will tell us what is inspired by God and what is not. That is not what scripture says. And so it is important that we are careful of what the word says. It is profitable for doctrine. Telling us what is true about God, what is true about the Trinity of God, about angels, about sin, about salvation, about sanctification, repentance, about the church and its future, about heaven and hell, and many more doctrinal teachings that are so helpful for man to know. There are doctrinal teachings out there today that are dangerous. Some are only part truths, focusing only on certain scriptures, focusing only on things that people will want to hear. It is important that we have the right doctrine. And it is profitable for reproof. The scriptures speak to us personally of what is wrong and what is sinful in our very own life. In Psalm 119, verse 9, is the question, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And the answer is in the same verse, by taking heed thereunto according to thy word. God's word is profitable to answer back to the tempter who comes to tempt us. We know Jesus told the devil what was written in scripture. So very important for us for correction. It is profitable for correction and for instruction in righteousness. Not only does God's word tell us what we are doing wrong, but it also tells us how to make it right or how to correct our lives. For an example, the scriptures teach us that we are not to steal. But then we find in Ephesians 4, verse 20, it says, but rather, instead of stealing, let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Again, it focuses back to how important is our own life to us. We should focus on others and how we can help those around us. Verse 17 gives us the assurance that through God, through the God-given word and through continuing in it, God can mold us into a perfect man that God wants us to be. I believe we live in a world today that so desperately needs to hear from God. So many people live in bondage to addictions, struggling in finances, struggling in dishonesty, living in secrecy, fearing that they will be found out by someone. God's word is there for instruction in righteousness. It is there for correction. And that brings me to my last point. I charge thee, therefore, preach the word. The charge that Paul gives to Timothy is before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, meaning that we should always be mindful of the fact that God is watching us. How are we administering the command that he has left us to go out into all the world and teach them? It reminds us that someday we will be accountable to our Heavenly Father, who will judge the living and the dead. How did we go and spread God's word? Verse 2 speaks to us of the urgency of proclaiming God's word. He says, be instant, be ready. The word of God is always in season, though some may think it is out of season. The letter to Timothy focuses much on the true word of God. 2 Timothy 1 verse 8, he talks about, or Paul tells Timothy, be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And 2 Timothy 1 verse 13, he says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. In 2 Timothy 2 verse 2, he says, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I charge thee, Timothy, preach the word. Be instant, be ready. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. Preach the word when it is easy to preach, and preach it when it is hard to preach. Timothy was to hold up the word of God against the lives of the people and let God and his Spirit do the work. You know, as pastors, we take this scripture personally. God's word is a book for this life. It is a book that you can use daily in your walk of faith. It is given for instruction. Friends, this talks to Timothy as a pastor, but Scripture instructs all of us to evangelize, to tell people about Jesus, to make God's word known. And I think of that verse where the Apostle Paul told Timothy that from a child you have known the Scriptures. Who did the teaching? Mother, grandmother, fathers, we are to do the teaching. And friends, I'm not sure if this is the right place to use it, but I want to encourage you as parents, teach your children respect. teach them to respect authority, to respect elders, to respect parents. It will help your children in so many areas of life. Use the Word of God when you teach your children. A lady came to me one time and she said, "What do you do with a son that just simply won't listen to you?" And I asked her, "Have you tried using God's Word in your teaching?" And she says, "No, what do you mean?" Well, I said, "Tell your child this is what the Scripture says." And all of us are accountable to God. You know, the Holy Spirit can do a far greater work in your child than you can. When your child will know that it is accountable to God, it will make them see different. The Word of God is quick, it is living, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, sound doctrine is not going to be popular in the end of time. The Scripture says that. It's not a popular choice. But don't preach only what people want to hear. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They shall turn their ears from the truth. They shall turn to fables or to myths. Paul does not tell Timothy, "Don't let this happen," because he knows it will happen. We're not going to stop the time. But he says, "But you, Timothy." Timothy was told in verse 5 to do the work of an evangelist. Friends, what is an evangelist? I believe it is one that will teach and instruct in the knowledge of Christ, who Jesus is and what he can do for us in our lives. To make known all that the Scriptures say for the benefit of those who hear and for those who receive the truth. The last verse says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Friends, we have it all. We just need to use it. For God's honor and for God's glory and for the building of his kingdom. Shall we close in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have kept the word unto our day, that we can read and that we can be instructed in what is right, that we can be admonished for what is wrong. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the power of your Holy Spirit, and for the way that it works in our lives, ways in which we cannot see, but we can feel and we know you are powerful. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would give us insight as to the importance of God's word. We pray for the parents in our church congregations that they would be able to teach their children right from wrong, Lord, help us to be faithful to the calling that you have given to us to go out into all the world and preach the word, and to teach all that you have commanded us. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we would see the importance of God's word, that our love for you would be the greatest love, that there would be nothing in this life that would be more important to us. Lord, as your word says that your word enlightens the eyes, so help our eyes to be enlightened to what is important in life, especially as we are drawing closer to the end. We pray, Lord God, that you would keep us in faith, keep us in the right doctrine. We pray that we study your word enough that false doctrine would not be able to take over. Lord, we pray for each one that is here in this congregation this morning. You know their situation. You know the times they are going through, the struggles they have in life. We pray that you would encourage each one that is here through your word and through your spirit. We pray, Heavenly Father, that thy will would be accomplished. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We walk with the Lord in the light of his word. What a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but his smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Thank you very much for leading us in those very fitting songs. Let's trust and obey. Also want to thank all of you who have come this morning. It is good that you have been here. I am encouraged to see there's young people here, there's older people here, there's middle-aged people here. I am encouraged by all of you, and it is my prayer that the Lord will have encouraged you in your walk of faith. Thank you again for coming. Shall we just bow for a closing benediction? Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. You may depart, and may God's peace go with you.